endless ages ever to be. Nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee. Thank you, Robin. Now go with me to the book of James, chapter 3. Book of James, chapter 3. I've been looking forward to this. This is a wonderful passage here. Let's read verses 13 through 18. James 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or life, conduct, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness. That's the title of this message. Or it could be, who is wise? Wisdom from above. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. It's a lovely and wonderful thought. Peace. Do you not love fruit? Fruit is perhaps the sweetest and most delectable of all food known to man, isn't it? Perhaps the most beautiful. It's certainly the most colorful and diverse. There are literally thousands and thousands of variety of fruit. Fruit is such a beautiful and glorious and clear show of God's creative power and eternal Godhead. Only God could make such a thing as this. His eternal handiwork. Fruit. It's wholesome. It's nutritious. It's pleasant and pleasurable. It's luscious to the taste and the smell. It's gorgeous to behold. And I'm talking about Christ. The fruit of His righteousness. I started studying this about fruit and made me start wanting a piece of fruit. So I went to my refrigerator down there and found one of those Texas ruby red grapefruits. It is beautiful and wonderful. But this passage is talking about Christ, who is wisdom and the fruit of His righteousness. This passage is also talking about Christ in His people, and it's an exhortation to sow this peace that brings this fruit of righteousness. Now, don't you love fruit? And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you love His salvation. The Lord God does. It says He is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. And we have peace with God because of Christ. Peace which He sowed. Peace which He made. Scripture says the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. He loveth righteousness. Over 500 times the word righteousness is in Scripture. The kingdom of God is in righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Ghost. He said in Isaiah 65, "I create new heavens and a new earth." He said, "Rejoice in what I create. Peter said it's going to be a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that is the opposite, people, of everything wrong. Righteousness simply means everything that's right. All that's good. All that's sweet, as opposed to everything bitter. Righteousness. Love as opposed to hate. Holiness as opposed to sin and iniquity. Don't you love the sound of it? The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. His name is called Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Some of you know what that means. And surely shall one say, more than one, there's one, in the Lord have our righteousness. He is made unto us wisdom. Righteousness. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness imputed to us. Christ in His people is their beauty, the beauty of holiness, the righteousness imparted to them. All right, look at verse 13. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, that's Christ, isn't it? He was truly that wise man who showed a good conversation and meekness of wisdom. Now, this is a good statement, folks. It's meekness of wisdom. Our Lord said, you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. Meek and lowly in heart. Meekness means submission and subjection to God's will and God's word. And this is wisdom, because it's foolish to live for yourself. And it's foolish to say there's no God. And it's foolish to fight God, and foolish to try to go about our own way and not seek His way. It's foolish. But Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. Meek doesn't mean weak. It just means in submission. Meekness of wisdom. Who among you, James is writing to us, who among you is a wise man? Who among you is a wise man? Read verses 14 through 16 with me again. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, not from God, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion, every evil work. Here's what my pastor said about this. Everyone likes to think they're wise and knowledgeable. No one considers himself a fool. But if you would prove yourself to be truly wise, let it be in conduct, in conversation. And that's not just a single act or two, but it's a course of living that's in keeping with the Word of God. A spirit of humility, peace, and love. It's a daily godliness, words seasoned with grace, an attitude of humility and love. These are evidence of spiritual wisdom. But he says, if you have bitter envy and jealousy and strife and contention in your hearts and comes out of our mouths, don't glory in knowledge or don't glory in the wisdom we say we have. It's just head knowledge. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's contrary to the truth. And this kind of wisdom, verse 15 says, is not from God. This so-called wisdom, God didn't give that to you. It's earthly. It's carnal. It's unspiritual. It's of the devil. That's what it is. And he says, you can be sure when our attitude and words create strife and confusion and division among the brethren, when we speak envy and bitterness and selfishness, it's not the wisdom of God. Where wise men are, there's love, mercy, and peace. Where envy and strife is, there's just confusion and every evil work. That's a good definition of it. That's a good definition. But now, the wisdom that's from above, the wisdom that's from above, it says is pure. First, it's pure. peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Wisdom from above. That's Christ. Wisdom. Christ said, I am from above. You are beneath. And He is pure, isn't He? Pure means unmixed, perfect in His undiluted holiness and righteousness. Scripture says He's holy, harmless, separate from sinners, undefiled, pure. In Him is no sin. Pure. Peaceable. The next thing says it, wisdom is peaceable. That's Christ. The word peaceable means, and you'll like this, the word pacific. Pacify, pacific. I don't know why somebody gave the Pacific Ocean that name. It can be anything but peaceful. But pacific, or a pacifier, able to make peace. We give our little children these pacifiers, don't we? To still a troubled child. Christ is peaceable, able to give peace to the most troubled soul and troubled heart. Able to make peace by the blood of His cross. Gentle, verse 7. Gentle. Oh my. A true gentleman. Gentle. Tender. Kind. Soothing. Courteous. Pitiful and courteous. Because of His peaceable, gentle nature, He's able to subdue anger and hatred. Gentle. Gentle. The gentle Lord. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Look at the next thing. Easy to be entreated. I like this. Easy to be entreated. That means easy to approach to. Our Lord said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Remember back in chapter 1, where He said, if you lack wisdom, ask. Come to God, ask. He gives liberally and upbraideth not. He won't turn you away. Easy to be entreated. Easy to plead with. Have you ever approached somebody you needed a favor from and they act like they were reluctant to do it? Like you're imposing upon them? That's not easy to be entreated. Have you ever tried to make peace with someone and didn't want to? Our Lord is the opposite of that. He's ready to pardon. Easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. Easy to plead with. Easy to ask favors of. He delights to show mercy. Easy to ask favors of. He's ready to help. Ready to pardon. Willing and a cheerful giver. And He gives grace and He gives more grace. And won't upbraid you. Easy to be entreated. I like that. Full of mercy and good fruits. Full. Full. Not with measure. We have a measure of mercy. He's full. Mercy, full. Full of mercy. Without measure, the Spirit. Full of good fruits. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith. Yes, faith. Meekness, temperance, long-suffering. Full. Full. You need any of that? He says, come, I'll give it to you. Full. Peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality. Without partiality, our Lord says, whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life, hath everlasting life. If any man thirst, doesn't matter who it is, rich, poor, young, old, black, white, doesn't matter, male, female, in Christ there is no such thing. Come unto me, all you that labor without partiality. Come unto me, all without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Anyone ever told you they love you and want peace and want to be your friend and all that stuff, and they don't mean it? You know they don't mean a word of it. Not him. What he says, he means. He's honest. He's just. He's true. He's sincere. Greater love hath no man than this. Come unto me, he said, without hypocrisy. And verse 18 says, and the fruits of righteousness. his, is sown in peace of them, or rather him, that maketh peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by the Lord Jesus Christ, who made peace for us by the blood of his cross. His sinless life was well pleasing to God. And he imputed that to his people. And now we are accepted in the beloved. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. And he charged that to our account. And the sacrifice of his life, his substitutionary death, gives us peace with God. By his death, our sins were punished. By his blood, by his sinless blood, by him walking the wine press of God's wrath, we have peace with God. For he is our peace. Listen to this in Isaiah 32, verse 17. Now, if you're not hearing this message, get the tape and go back. Because the effect of this is peace. If you just trust him, if you believe him. It says in Isaiah 32, 17, the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Christ said, I made peace by the blood of my cross. Trust me. And you'll have peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And of his fruits, of his fruit, we have peace and righteousness. You know, perhaps the most glorious of all fruit is the grape. Go with me to John 15. That's not by chance, it's by design. The grape, the vine, grapes. I've learned something about grapes over the year. You know how many variety of grapes there are? And we're talking about Christ here. His infinite attributes and characteristics and beauty. Christ, his fruit, the fruit of his righteousness, his fruits. You know how many varieties there are? Over 10,000. That's just one fruit. Evolution? I don't think so. And why are there so many? Because it's such a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's 75 to 100 grapes in one cluster. I grow grapes. And it's the most marvelous thing. It's just bursting with flavor and moisture. 600 to 800 grapes in one bottle of wine, and one vine generally produces 12 bottles of wine. One vine usually produces 12 bottles of wine. That's by design. Oh my, what the Lord produced through his 12 apostles. Wine, grapes, luscious, glorious, crushed, the blood of those grapes produces what? Wine. Wine that maketh glad the heart. All of this is a picture of Christ, his righteousness. He said in verse 1 of John 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman who planted me in this earth. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, that is every professor, it's what James is talking about, that doesn't bear fruit, that's full of envy and strife and all of this, he taketh away. It'll be every branch, though, that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, pruneth it, trieth it, purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, not in Christ, but just in religion or in a profession or just knowledge in our head and not Christ in our heart. He's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire. That's the angels gathering the non-elect, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. All right, now let's talk about us. Because that's who James is writing to. All right? Christ must have the preeminent. And I gave it to him, didn't I? He is this wisdom from above. But now James is also talking to his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You in him, like a bottle in smoke. James is writing of Christ and his people. Or as John said, as he is, so are we. Now, in this world, I know it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But behold, brethren, now are we the sons of God. Now, right now. And he says this fruit of righteousness and this wisdom and all comes from Christ in you. Okay? It's not, our Lord said, you don't bear it of yourself. You can't produce this of yourself. Cannot. All right? Who is wise? Who is wise? He said. Who's endued with knowledge from on high? Hadn't James been saying this? Show me. Show me. But if you have all of this bitter envy and strife, no. Christ doesn't dwell in you. That's carnal. That's devilish. And that's just, it's not of God, we said. But now, verse 17. The wisdom that's from above is first pure. Pure. Wisdom from above, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Heart made pure. Now are you pure through the obeying the truth? And heart entertains thoughts of God. Pure thoughts of sovereign grace, sovereign mercy, the truth, not mixed, pure, good thoughts. And out of the mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh accordingly. Peaceable. Peaceable. That's the opposite of strife. Men who desire peace speak peacefully. Didn't our Lord say in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peace makers. Fruit of peace is a righteousness sown in peace by them that make peace. Blessed are the peace makers. They're called the children of God. Peaceable, gentle, mild, courteous, kind, patient. Even, he says, if we contend for the truth, we're still not to be cruel and hard, but gentle. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's an attribute of Christ and also His servant. Easy to be entreated. Willing to listen. Willing to listen to reason. It doesn't 1 Corinthians 13 say, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It's kind, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Oh, those that have obtained mercy, show mercy. Yes, sir. If not, it's a lie. Show mercy, full of mercy, and good fruits. Love. Our Lord said back there in John 15, He said, this is the fruit. Number one, what's the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22? The first fruit. Love. And that's what our Lord said first in John 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. And this is my commandment for your joy, and for your peace, and for peace all around you, that you love one another as I love you. And the fruit of righteousness will be sown. Love. Fruits. Good fruits. Without partiality. Without bias. Without prejudice. Of self and family and you know, partiality. We just read about partiality then, to those that can do you favors. Oh, no. No, no, no. This is without partiality. No respecter of persons. It reaches out to all. Verse 17. Without hypocrisy, true spiritual wisdom is sincere. Didn't Paul say the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth? Unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. All right, how do we get these things? How do we get these things? Our Lord already told us, didn't He? You can't bear this of yourself. You cannot bear this of yourself. How can we bear fruit? If we do bear fruit, most everyone in here believes it's very little. And if you love this righteousness of Christ, imputed, imparted, if you love peace, you want more of it. You want to make it. You want to have it in you and all around you, don't you? Peace, righteousness, you want to dwell in it. You hate sin. You hate strife. You hate envy. You hate bitterness. You hate all these things. And you want this fruit. You want to bear it and you want to taste it, don't you? You want to be a partaker of it. Well, how do we bear fruit? Well, our Lord said, except you abide in me, you'll bear no fruit. You've got to be in Christ. You've got to be found in Christ. You've got to be in Him. And I can't explain that except our Lord said you must be born again. You must be found in Him. Not having your own righteousness. It's filthy rags. You don't have any by nature. No, no, no. What comes out of our old nature is sensual, carnal, devilish, isn't it? Our old nature, that old man. And it comes out sometimes because he's still there. Oh, but this new man created in Christ Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. By his death, by his life, we are made righteous, found in the vine. Except you abide in me and I in you. And this fruit is sown. You sow it. You sow it. If we want peace in our home, if we want a peaceful marriage, He says, sow it. Pursue it, Scripture says. Pursue it. Go after it. Make it. Make it. If I'd say this to someone who's unmarried, if you want a good husband or a good wife who is loving, peaceful, peaceable, good, gentle, full of good fruits and all that, they're going to have to know Christ. And they're not going to be like that. They have to know Christ. Christ must be in them. And I say this to all husbands and wives now. If you want to be a good husband, be a good wife, you've got to sow it. Sow peace. Make peace. Pursue it. Colossians 3 said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you've been called. To which you've been called. To have this fruit is to abide in Him, which our Lord said, you remember, He said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. Remember that message? Being afar off from Him. In other words, being with Him, walking and talking with Him, communion with Him, beholding His face, we're changed into the same image from grace to grace. If you're afar off, you'll start looking like the world and acting like the old man. But you abide in Him, you draw nigh unto Him, and this fruit will come out of you. Yes, it will. Trials. Trials. Go back to the book of Hebrews, just a few pages. Hebrews chapter 12. Trials. Remember our Lord said in John 15, every branch in me that beareth fruit, He
virgin. He prunes it. Here's another reason the grapevine represents our Lord so well in the grape. Isaiah 53 says he'll come forth as a root out of dry ground. Anybody knows anything about growing grapes? You put the root stock. You find a root from a good stock. And you plant it in the ground. When you first plant it, it looks like a dead root, like a stump. You think there's no life in it. Oh no, the root of the matter is in that root. And before long, it'll start growing, but it has very small origins until finally it grows. And boy, does it bring forth fruit. One vine, thousands of grapes, luscious fruit. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ and the vine and the branch. And he said, here's another thing I was going to say. When you, grapes, every year you cut them back hard. You got to prune them. If you look, go to a vineyard, you'll see that they cut those back just to leave main branches. They cut all the little unnecessary branches away. And it looks like you've killed that thing. That's a good picture, isn't it? Every branch that bringeth fruit. Well, it was doing so well last year. Why cut it back? Why be so hard on it? Because it's going to bring more fruit this way. It'll double its fruit the next year if you do it right. According to the wisdom of the vintner, the winemaker, the husbandman, he knows what he's doing. And our Lord sends trials after trials upon his people for his glory and honor that we might bear fruit. Look at Hebrews 12. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. Didn't our Lord say in Proverbs, if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child? He said, he that spares a rod, hateth his child. That's what it says. It says, don't let your soul spare for their crying. The rod will keep them from foolishness. It'll bring forth fruit of righteousness. That's what it says. Read on. It says, we gave our fathers reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live for his glory? They verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are pruned. We'd be spoiled, rotten, carnal, devilish worldlings if the Lord didn't prune us and send trials to wean us from this world and remove that old Adamic nature from us and start molding us and making us in the image of Christ. And he does it by trials. Listen to this. John Newton wrote this. He's just, oh my, what fruit this man bore in preaching and hymn writing. I love this. He said, I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his faith. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way it almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favored hour at once he'd answer my request. He's talking about grace and faith and love. He said, I thought at once he'd answer my request and by his love's constraining power subdue my sin and give me rest.
Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart. Let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more, with his own hand, it seemed, intent to aggravate my woe, he crossed or ruined all my fair plans I schemed and blasted my gourd and laid me low. I remember old Elijah or Jonah, I mean. Lord, why is this, I trembling cried. Will you pursue this worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set you free and break your plans of earthly joy that you might seek your all in me. Every branch, he prunes it, purges it. So trials, and the results are the peaceable fruit of righteousness, sown in peace. Oh, I was going to have you turn to the Song of Solomon. You know how much it talks about fruit all through the Song of Solomon, because it talks about Christ, who is the beloved, being full of fruit, and his bride, he says she is too. And they both desire each other's fruit. Now, I'll just quote this to you, okay? He says, my spouse is a garden enclosed. Plants like pomegranates and fruits. It's camphor and spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon and trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes and chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, a stream from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south and blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. As we do his, and believe it or not, he enjoys his own people, the fruit. So, it says, who is a wise man among you? Who heard this? Who heard this? Who is a wise person? He is wise that heareth, and not just heareth,
but knoweth.
Because the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. That's Christ. And that's his people. All right, stand with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for Christ, who is the word personified, who came down here. You sent him, you planted him. The vine, the choicest vine, you planted him. It grew into a great vine and brought forth much fruit, the fruit of righteousness. The healing in his wings, the tree of life, and the healing of the leaves, or the healing of the nation, all manner of fruits in that tree of life, that vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for causing him to bear the wrath of God for us, walking the wine press of God's wrath alone. Oh, Lord, thank you for crushing him, making his soul an offering for sin. The blood of his body made peace. His righteous life made peace, established righteousness for us. Oh, Lord, let us learn what this means. Because the effect of this righteousness is peace, quietness forever. Oh, Lord, let us look to him. And, Lord, we want to look like him. We want to know the peace that he's made for us. And Lord, we want this peace in us. We want this righteousness imparted to us, in us. We want to be like Christ, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. All of these things. Oh, Lord, do what is necessary. We pray. We truly, from the heart, not with a double mind, but in faith, we ask that you would do what it takes to make us like Christ and make peace in our midst. In Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You're dismissed.